We're not giving away legal advice. We're not qualified to give legal advice, but we are connected with some lawyers that are experts in the Second Amendment universe and that we can talk to and that we can refer you to so that you can have that answer that you're looking for. Hey, people say, damn, you put one inside the other. Yo, you lucky as hell.
Not lucky, that's right.
And, you know what I tell them? I said, the harder I work, the luckier I get, you know?
And that's what it is. Do you believe now? Do you saying that? Do you believe in luck?
I think that luck is, I think that people misunderstand luck. I think that luck is a formula where preparation meets opportunity. And if you have the proper preparation and the opportunity comes and that marriage exists, then people call that luck, right?
Yeah.
But if you have a lack of preparation, you can have a million opportunities and none of it will matter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or if you have all the preparation in the world, but you never have the opportunity, then you'll be just like every other ball player in the
park. Like a lot of people playing the lottery.
Yeah. You'll be like every other great Michael Jordan that never became Michael Jordan. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Yeah.
So luck is a formula. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I believe you make your own luck.
Yeah. You make your own luck by making sure that you're prepared and making sure that you're conscious of enough to take advantage of opportunities.
You know what? I think the same way do you think after I read the book, The Rich Man of Babylonia.
Oh, yeah. The Richest Man of Babylon.
That's why he said, luck don't exist.
No.
It's about preparation and opportunity.
Yeah. That's it. I'm going to give you an example. So tonight, right? Like, when did we agree to come tonight?
This morning.
Like, well, this afternoon, right?
Yeah, this afternoon.
Yeah. So
yeah, for me, what this morning, when I wake up and I see all the new coming in there, I say, yo, my boy, he's on the street. He's been on the train. Let me call him. Everybody's good. Hey, Lionel.
Yeah.
Oh, lucky.
So,
yo, what is going on? You good? All your people is good. All your friends is good. You know what I mean? Yeah. I feel bad about all the people have the situation around. But I want to make sure that you're doing good.
So what happens? I put it in the group chat.
Yeah.
And we say, yo, this is it. So now, if I don't have the knowledge and the information to be able to have a conversation, then I fail to prepare.
Okay.
But if you don't give me the opportunity, then all of this knowledge is worthless.
Exactly.
So people say, damn, you got a podcast the same night with Raul, 101 TV? You got lucky. I'm
like, nah, that's not lucky.
It's not lucky.
That's being prepared.
Yeah.
I want to make this shortly intro for everybody who is right now on 101 TV show with my homeboy Loki, my homeboy Kevin right now. I don't want to give the introduction because when they introduce, they say all about what they do and what they are here right now. Welcome to 101 TV show. But before everything, remember to subscribe on our channel, 101 TV show, all platform podcast on what is Spotify, Audio Mac, Apple Music, any platform like Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, say no more. Just subscribe, hit the button, like, share, and comment. Well, welcome to 101.
First of all, thank you for having
thank
us.
You.
Welcome right here, boy.
Yeah. You know? So I'm Lucky, and this is Kevin. And we are members of a group called NJ Sharpshooters. And our group is a Second Amendment advocacy group. We train people on the use of firearms. We assist people with helping to get permits. We help them with the firearm selection. We help them train. And then if we want to get a little bit deeper, then we go into some tactical stuff. You know, as you and I spoke earlier, there are ever-changing climates that we have to respond to. And in today's society, the landscape looks a little bit different than it did when you and I were growing up, at least here. So we have to kind of change our mindset as far as what our roles are in this new family structure, right? What is the role of the father? What is the role of the modern man? And one of the things that never changes is that we are protectors, right? And so in order for you to adequately be a protector, you have to be capable of protecting.
Yes.
And so there are lines of defense that come before the firearm, absolutely, right?
Yeah.
Awareness is the price of your safety, right? But should it get to that last line of defense where we need to utilize a firearm, then you should be able to do it in the most proficient and quickest way possible, because millimeters or milliseconds can equal either life or death.
Yeah. Boy, Kevin.
Yeah. I'm Kevin, just here with Lucky. Thank you again for having us. So we are a community for the people. We're definitely here for introducing people to the Second Amendment, right, and stuff like that. So we are open up to letting people know that we are able to have fun in Jersey as well, and we're actually doing it safe, you know what I mean? Because when I grew up, I just a kid from Newark, New Jersey, you know what I mean? So as a kid growing up, seeing the crime rate, seeing problems, seeing my mom going through things like that, that's how I got involved with the firearms community. But I didn't know that it was something that I can also incorporate as an American, you know, as my civilian right. I always thought it was like a facade, seeing movies and stuff like that, that they're on TV seeing guns, but I didn't know that I can actually go and obtain a permit, be able to do things legally in the right way, because growing up in Newark, man,
and
not many people follow
the law. And the more important thing, teach people about it.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, so now realizing that we're able to improperly inform the citizen and give them at least a helping hand into this community and showing them that we can do it properly, safely, and also have fun. So
yeah, one of the purposes that I called my boy Lucky this morning was because the situation is going on right now in New York. You know what I mean? Pray for New York about the attack that we have on train station. And also my boy Lucky right now, right here, you know what I mean? He's a train pilot. This is how it's called, right?
Yeah, I'm a railroader. By trade, I'm a railroader.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? And he being in a situation like we talk, you know what I mean? We have a long friendship before. Something similar like that. So I want to ask him, like, that can provide me and give me that knowledge or a little bit information as you that watching this video right now. A little bit how people can take care of some safety on train station, how what they be looking around when they see something suspicious, like what they can do about it. You know what I mean? What a situation like that, because on the video this morning when I saw that what happened in New York, I just saw a lady recording when we don't even know if she knows exactly what is going on.
Right. So there's a lot of, we don't have enough information to be able to make a definitive statement on what is going on in New York. It's a tragedy, a complete travesty that some of our New York brothers and sisters had to experience. What we would say moving forward for anybody who's viewing this video is that we have to increase our awareness, right? We have to become a little bit more hyper-vigilant, right? Yeah. Being aware of our surroundings. Now, when we talk about that, it's important to realize that domestic terrorism is something that you're more likely to experience than some international individual coming into New York and creating mass havoc, right? There are no such things as weird people. Right. Especially in New York, everybody's different.
Yeah.
But there are some red flags that we can look for. Right. Weird actions, weird behavior. Right.
Characteristics.
Yeah. Characteristics. So if it's the summertime and you see somebody wearing a long trench coat, right.
It's signs. You got like red flags.
It's usually an indicator that there's something that's not right.
You know? Something is going above what is going on.
Yeah. Above what is going on. So, you know, being hypervigilant to that individual, or, you know, understanding your surrounding, being aware, like, where are your exits, where are your entrances, always being capable of processing this information. Most of the time when we operate, when we go to work or when we go, when we travel, we're operating on a co-pilot, right?
Yeah,
we're not aware.
This is automatic move. Like, I wake up, take a shower, get my coffee, drive to work, and I start working.
Right.
Like, I stop at the red light before you figure out it's a red light.
Right.
You figure in the break.
Yeah. Right. So we're on autopilot is what I meant to say. We're on autopilot, right?
Yeah.
So we're not conscious of what is happening around us or in front of us, right? And that's something that we can absolutely change, because it's within your power to make a decision to be conscious, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, because of the recent events and the current political climate, we have to be that way. We have to evolve. And if we don't, then we're creating a very unsafe precedent, right?
Yeah.
Especially for our children. So, you know, the modern man needs to be much more like the man of yesteryear, if you will, you know, that plays the role of the protector. And that's a that's a layered role, right? It's not just one. It's not just firearms, right? It's it's physical combat, right? It's being able to process a healthy diet. It's being able to process healthy emotions, right? Because in today's society, we're also taught that the man doesn't cry, the man doesn't complain. We really suffer in silence. So there's a lot of mental health issues that we need to address.
Yeah.
A lot of times before it gets to this point, there are many layers where these individuals could have been assisted, right? The trajectory of their behavior could have been shifted if we would have been able to pick up the signs earlier, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe just had somebody to talk to. You never know. Yeah. I'm not saying that that was the case here, but I'm saying that there, it's never one incident that sets this off. Usually it's a series of triggers that lead to an event like this, right?
Yeah. But also, like, a lot of people I see, they've been talking, like, oh, about permit for gang, like, you know what I mean? Like, New York is real strict with that. New Jersey is another one, and, like, they don't be giving permit to all siblings like that real quick. Do you think if New York or New Jersey or any other state, we have, like, access more, the government give them more information and more educated about how they can get their own permit and stuff like that. You think we can be providing a stuff coming like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Kev, you want to touch?
Yeah, definitely. I do believe that in the cases of where we are restricted in our gun rights and stuff like that, you kind of see a common theme there. There are more violence. There are more criminals looking to take advantage of those things. You're just limiting the law-abiding citizens at that point. So if I'm not saying it could have happened, but if there was a good guy with a gun at that moment, he could have stopped it or at least prevented that from happening. You know, we don't know yet the story, the motive, unstable situation. At the end of the day, somebody there with a legal firearm is willing to put down somebody that's there with a firearm that's a bad guy, you know, with a malintention.
So just to piggyback on what he's saying, a lot of times, well, 2 million times a year, this is a statistical fact. You can look it up, fact check me. 2 million times a year, a good guy with a gun stops a bad guy with a gun. But we don't see those statistics.
Because that doesn't come out as a good
news. You're not going to see that on the TV.
It doesn't favor the narrative,
it really
right?
It doesn't.
But what happens in cities like New York is that we create what we call victim-only zones. Where the good guy, you can have a hero. You can have somebody who has the willpower to stop a bad guy.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, you've tied his hands behind his back because he doesn't have equal force to be able to combat the individual, right? So you got a guy over there with a gun and I'm over here with nothing. Listen, brother, at that point, it's the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rule.
Right? For real.
And that guy with the gun,
he's making
all the rules at that point. He's creating a reality as he sees fit, and it's unfair, right? Because everybody else who's there is a victim now, even though in a different reality, in a different state, the outcome would have been different, right? 25 of our states now share open carry laws. 25 of them. And like Kevin said, where we see the most gun restrictions, like a city like Chicago, we see the most gun violence.
Most crime rates and everything.
So it just doesn't add up. The statistics don't add up.
So, but now for Jersey, the people that try to get the permit to have their gun even for safety for home, because sure, we know we cannot carry on. What exactly now do you are like, you know what I mean, on that kind of environment every day, because you are like a gun instructor, you know what I mean? You can teach some John Wick stuff to people, believe it or not, you know what I mean? I see that, you know what I mean? He doing that. What people need to qualify for?
So the first qualification, and I think Kevin was touching base off camera with this, is that you need to be an American citizen, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it is what it is. We don't believe that should be the case. We believe that your right to protect yourself is a God-given right, right, and that no government or nobody else on this planet should be able to stop you from being able to protect yourself. But unfortunately, here in New Jersey, you have to be a United States citizen. You have to apply online. Everything is online, so it is streamlined at this point. Yeah, it is streamlined.
Now, yeah.
You can apply online. You need your ORI number, which is the number that identifies your municipal police department. If you don't have a municipal police department, then you use the New Jersey State Police ORI number. And then you fill out the application. You're applying for your firearms purchaser ID and then a permit to purchase a handgun. Those are two separate things.
Yeah.
So your FID or your firearms purchaser ID gives you the authority to purchase any long gun, right?
Okay.
A rifle or a shotgun, right?
Yeah.
And you can purchase as many as you like. No problem there, right? But if you want to purchase a handgun, you need an individual permit
for
that handgun. Yeah. And then the purchase of said handgun can only be made with every 30-day intervals. So if you purchase, if you picked up a handgun April 1st,
yeah,
you wouldn't be able to pick up another handgun until May 1st.
So every month you can buy one?
Every month, every 30 days.
Every 30
There's
days.
A 30-day interval for handgun purchases. Mm-hmm. During the course of the application, there are certain disqualifiers, right? If you have a felony on your record, if you have a history of domestic violence, if they do a mental background check, if you're addicted to narcotics, if you have are a member of an organization or have conspired against the state of New Jersey or the country, you know, obviously for those reasons you would be disqualified. But other than that, they ask you to list two references, and those references have to respond to a questionnaire via email. Very simple. It's basically the same questions that I just stated.
Yeah.
And then you have to go get your fingerprints. The fingerprints are the only real cost factor there. It's $56, and you do have to schedule for it. So if anybody needs help, feel free to reach out. We will walk you through the entire process, and we will make sure that there are a minimal amount of obstacles that you have to face to get from point A to point B. And then at that point, it's just a waiting game, because the final decision does come down to the chief of police of your municipal police department. Once you get your permit, then you have an entire different universe that you need to uncover, right? We have to talk about what gun is right for you. What is the purpose of the firearm that you're purchasing, right? Your physical attributes. Are you a 90-pound woman? Are you a 250-pound, 6'3", grown man, right? So different physiological aspects might be a factor in what firearm you choose. We have considerations like caliber,
right?
Whether it's 9mm. Well, if we're talking about home defense, we have to start at 380, right? Because 22 caliber is not a home defense round. We have to start at 380 and 9mm, 40 caliber, 45, and then we get into like different revolver rounds and stuff like that. But then we have to talk about the size of the frame. Subcompact, you know, compact, full size,
and whatever feel comfortable for the
right and the competition.
Looking at the comfort.
So it's important you say comfort, because sometimes the misconception is, and I think we deal with this all the time, is that especially with women, is that they say, "Oh, I'm a girl, I'm small, I need to buy the smallest gun possible," and they say.
Or the most colorful one.
Yeah.
There's a lot of misconceptions.
Do you have a pink one?
Yeah.
I like the pink one or the blue one,
not realizing that the size, the caliber, the actual shooting it and presenting it, you know, it all plays a factor in picking up the right tool for the right person.
It all plays a factor. Something that we recommend is that you should get the biggest gun that your hand can handle. And the reason why is because the smaller the gun, the smaller the square footage for that explosion. It's the same explosion, right? So the smaller the gun, the more you're going to feel it, right?
yeah.
So the bigger the gun, the more that energy is distributed, right? Obviously, there's polymer frame gun, like plastic, like Glocks. There's full metal constructions like Beretta 92s or maybe SIG 226s. Zev Technologies just came out with a really nice variant for the P226. So there's a plethora of different considerations there.
So what you mean is that, like, after you have all the permit, all paperwork done already, you are ready to purchase a gun. Now you have to sit down and see what is worth for you. What is the best option you can get where you can feel more comfortable? You don't want, like, I just bought this gun right now. I don't want it no more. Let me get another.
Exactly.
Right.
And the thing is that once you make that decision, brother, in order for you to go, first of all, you can't just say
like a return.
I don't want it. That's
yours. Yeah, you're gonna have to sell it, and it's just like a vehicle, brother. The moment there's one round through that gun, it is no longer a used gun. I mean, it's no longer a new gun.
It is a used gun,
and the value depreciates. So it's important. But we assist you with that too. So if you want, you can set up a day at the range with us, where we.
That's something else too that we put in there. Our NJ charge shooters. I said right.
Yeah.
After. Like, they help you out. I know this because, you're my homeboy. We talk about this most every time we sit down. And he tell me, oh, listen, like what we provide to people is help out with the paperwork, teach them exactly every little rule and every rule that they should be follow and don't follow about, you know what I mean, how to get the paperwork to get the gang. And also we help them to, I teach them how to work, you know what I mean? Go to the ranch, how to shoot, how to handle the gang and stuff like that. And I think that's, you know what I mean? And the way how you're doing, that's exactly what we need, you know what I mean?
Yeah, especially in our communities. You know, we were talking about this earlier, especially on our way here. It's taboo in our communities, right? Like, and I'll say this in Spanish, pero cuando mi mamá se enteró que yo iba a comprar una pistola, lo primero que ella me dice, mijo, pero ¿para qué te necesito una pistola?
Wow, why do you need that?
Inmediatamente, like, they think that you're going out to commit a crime. And it's like, yo, there's a recreational aspect to this, right? Yeah. There's a sport aspect to this, right? There's a competition aspect to it. As a matter of fact, it's one of the games in the Olympics. And you don't get any more sporting than Olympics, right? So, but we do teach people how to shoot. We teach them the components of the firearm. We teach them how to troubleshoot malfunctions. We teach them everything that they need to know, and we do it at no charge. So they pay for their time at the range. We get them a reduced price. They pay for the ammo. We get them at a reduced price. They don't pay for the gun rentals, and we set them up with various guns so that they can feel it, right? And then they also don't pay for the training, right? The first session is always free. And the first session, we go from zero to John Wick in 1 hour.
1 hour.
And I promise you, we'll get you there.
Because I have to go in there. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because he sent me that, Raul, let's go. I was like, listen, man, I am not ready to have a gun right now. I am not ready to purchase a gun. That's what I mean. Like, you know what I mean? Even though I can afford it, but me personally, in men's life, I don't feel ready for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's something else too. A lot of people, I just want to have a gun. Yeah. What is the reason why you want to have a gun for?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So it's important to understand where you're at mentally, right?
Exactly.
Being conscious and being aware is very important. But something that I would ask you to consider is that even though you may not be ready to purchase a gun, it doesn't mean that you won't have to find yourself in a situation where you need to use a gun.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, be able to disassemble a firearm to neutralize it as an object of terror, right?
Yeah.
So coming to the range and setting up a session and learning the information can't hurt you.
No.
Right?
Learning, like I said, education. The more you learn, the more education you have, the less you bother.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because when you don't know something, who you got to call? Somebody who know about it. Yeah. But if you know that, you can handle it yourself.
There's a saying that Kevin loves to, like, this is one of his, like, go-to lines. It's better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener at war.
Yeah.
You understand? So having this information readily available to you is only beneficial to you and your loved ones. Not knowing this information can hurt you.
Yeah. And can hurt people who you love. Yeah. Exactly. But what is the first purpose the people, maybe people don't know about that we talk behind the camera. What is the reason why buy a gun? What is the purpose to buy a gun? What is the, you know what I mean? Like a fire gun? What are the main purposes that, okay. Because a lot of people say, yeah, like me, I was confused. I say, oh, I want to have a gun for just because for safety.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's one of the main things people say. But you say something else, they got me shot. I was like, yo, I want you to say that right now. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, but that's the thing too. You know, there's a lot of misconceptions, and we can debate this as much as you guys want. We can have 10 podcasts in regards to this one topic. Why should somebody have a firearm? But for me, it goes back to why was the Constitution implemented to begin with? You know what I mean? Why were there those steps to be? Why did they put those in place? And of course, it goes back to the tyrannical government that we would have to be able to defend ourselves against. And we've seen that multiple times in different countries. They take the guns and they overthrow themselves and stuff like that. So we want to make sure that in the end result, the reason that Constitution was there is to protect ourselves from a government. And to be honest with you, we are the people in control. And a lot of the times, people forget that.
Yeah.
So when it says, you want to kick back on that.
When it says we the people, we are the people,
yeah,
right?
That's right?
So the Second Amendment was enacted in order to protect ourselves from a tyrannical government, right? That's the original purpose. But the Second Amendment is the only amendment that protects every other right, right?
What do you mean with that?
So your freedom of speech, right? So your freedom of speech, how is your freedom of speech protected? By a soldier with a firearm, right?
Okay.
Our freedoms and our liberties are protected worldwide, right? By our troops, right? who go out and fight the bad guys overseas, who go out and fight the bad guys domestically, right? Our police officers, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, if the government were to step out of line, the same police officers that we love and care for are going to be the ones that are going to be knocking on your door, right? And for that reason, we always resort to the simple answer that you want to purchase a firearm as a last line of defense for anybody who may attempt to impose their will on you or your family against your wishes.
Okay, but at the same time, is Jersey and all the states, they don't have a self-defense.
Self-defense law. No, New Jersey doesn't recognize a self-defense law, but it does justify, it does recognize justifiable homicide, right? So
well, how does that work?
So,
because,
so,
you know what I mean? Like, yeah, sure. Like I have my fire gun at home, right? Mm-hmm. And somebody come right here to rob me and everything like that. So how can I prevent that that person don't just take whatever he want to take and don't hurt me and my family? When I have a fire gun, the first thing I want to take it and shoot.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I know you mold it because you teach me a little bit of this stuff. It depends on the position, the situation that I am. Then I will be with the law or against the law. If I have a door, they have the reason that I have to get out the door.
Yeah.
But what happens if I don't follow those rules because the moment I just got panicked and that's what the freaking
was. Because self-defense could turn into a murder within just one extra round or an approach. You know what I mean? It's situational based at that same time. You know, it really depends and you have to make that call. Whatever you feel is best in your decision, in my opinion, that's what you're going to have to do within the laws of New Jersey because we don't have Castle Doctrine. We're very limited in it. You're probably going to go to jail anyway. You're probably going to be lawyered up anyway in New Jersey, you know. So the rules are kind of stacked against us, but we still have to protect our family. So whatever you do... That's
como dice esta frase en dominicano,
para que me manden,
como dice una frase dominicana o en español dice, para que llegue la muerte a mi casa, la mando a la de otro.
Exactamente. So this is what we have to take into consideration, right? It is a case by case basis.
Yeah.
But there is a criteria, right? Just like with anything else. So, was there a possibility for you to escape, right?
Yeah.
If they came in through the front door and you had the opportunity to leave through the back door, you should always leave through the back door. People who are breaking into your house are breaking into your house to steal, to take anything of value. Let them take it. We'll call the police. Let the police do their job, right? If you find yourself in a situation where you can't escape, right, then it comes down to disparity of force, right? If an individual comes into your house and they're trying to steal something and you're cornered up with a firearm in your hand, first of all, you should declare your intent, right? You should say, you know, I have a firearm, get out of my house or whatever the case may be. Do you have access to your phone? Call the police, get somebody. You should have a plan, right?
Yeah.
As a family, you guys should have a plan to who's responsible for calling the police, who's responsible for this. And sometimes that plan goes to shit and we have to be honest with ourselves. Right?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, like,
so listen, the next part of that criteria is, what information did you possess about the individual at the time? There was an individual where when they went to court, he said, oh, you know, the person that broke into my house was a Navy SEAL. He could have killed me with bare hands. I said, yeah, you know what? That's very reasonable. But did you know this at the time where you shot him 15 times?
Unlikely.
And he said, no. I said, well, then we can't use that to your advantage. Like, it doesn't become a factor.
Like, it's a pro, but it's not a plus.
Yes, because it all depends on the information that you possess at the time. Mm-hmm. But understanding your rights is something that we can get deeper into with a seminar. You can stop in. If you have any particular questions, we're not giving away legal advice. We're not qualified to give legal advice, but we are connected with some lawyers that are experts in the Second Amendment universe and that we can talk to and that we can refer you to so that you can have that answer that you're looking for.
Yeah, that's good. And I mean, if anybody watching this video and they want to have any type of topic that they think that we're good at, my boy Lucky and Kevin can bring it out and they can give the information, like you say, talk about what they know, you know what I mean? Not try to give you like a legal advisor because we are not certified for that. Yeah. But we can break down a little conversation for the next podcast and stuff like that. So right now I want to have a couple questions. I have some question right here. It's about, hey, I will use one of the common questions would be like true crime.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So let's see how you work with it.
Okay. All
right,
let's do it.
And I tell you one of my first questions right now. Right. You know what I mean? So do you think you can spot a psychopath?
A psychopath. A psychopath. You know, psychopaths are usually narcissistic. So they're self-absorbed. So is like 85% of society these days. So I don't think that I would be able to spot a psychopath immediately, but I think that once that psychopath began his initiative to create some type of disruption in our society, we'd be able to pick up on those behaviors.
Yeah. Okay. And Kevin?
Yeah, I would definitely pick up on characteristics. Not as fast, because like you said, there's a lot of people that have a lot of stuff going on, especially in today's time. Everybody's stressed. Everybody's still getting over cold or whatever. In the world of you pointing out a psychopath on the train, you know, you would have to point out a little bit of characteristics if he's sitting there jittering or if he has some sort of,
Psychopaths are very charming.
Yeah.
Right. One of the things that some of these psychopaths in our history have in common were that they were able to sway the masses. Right? They were very good with their words and manipulation. So,
it's very hard, but I feel like you can definitely kind of catch it.
Are there any true crime movie that you love? Which one it is?
True crime movies. So you know a movie that I absolutely love, The Town. The town was based on a real incident in Boston, with some guys that were bank robbers and unfortunately they went out swinging, but it didn't work in their favor. But Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, you know, they're an incredible team. So that movie was awesome. That movie was Kev.
True crimes.
I'm gonna ask you to do something later. You can't ask me what it is. We're talking about it again.
I mean, you called me an hour before a podcast, so you know I'm willing to do whatever. Yeah,
you know what Kevin's answer is going to be?
What?
Whose car we taking?
I'm driving. What's up?
So, is the death penalty unconstitutional?
Is
the death penalty unconstitutional? Well, you want to take a crack?
For me, I do believe in the death penalty. I do believe people should be put to death depending the circumstances. If you are a piece of crap, and for me, child molester, anything in that kind of criteria, you should definitely get a death penalty in certain cases. Some maybe even arguing an inhumane aspect about it, but there are even psychopaths out there that ask for the death sentence. You know what I mean? So there. I don't know if it is unconstitutional, but I believe that there should be a repercussion to that maximum extent.
I don't think it's unconstitutional at all. I think that if you're a detriment to society and you can't be rehabilitated, then we need to be able to solve that problem. Keeping you behind bars is only a burden to the taxpayer.
If you see me on my phone, I just want to have the best question, because I have over 100 questions right here. I have this cool app. It gave me different type of questions.
Pull the trigger, man.
So we want to put it right there. So
pull the trigger. Here we go.
I don't know. This one, boy. This is too long. I will give it to my boy Lionel to read it out.
Here we go. Why do you think some people fall in love with lifers in jail by writing and talking on the phone, even though they know they won't have a life in person with them? Okay, so I'm gonna take a crack at this, man.
Yeah, go for it.
I think that people fall in love with lifers the same way people fall in love with long distance relationships, the same way people fall in love with the metaverse, because it's a way for them to escape their specific reality, right? And even though they know that this isn't something that they'll be able to ever manifest in the physical realm, they're able to keep a part of that to themselves. Right, they're able to own a part of that, and in that connection, in that reality that they establish, the outside world or society can't control that. So that's why I think that people fall in love with lifers.
I would go with you the same thing too.
That's the thing too, because everybody wants to connect with somebody at a certain point, and once that reality between a lifer or pen pal, whatever that connection is, like you said, reality doesn't really matter because in the moment they're writing to each other, they have that connection and nothing can come between them. So whether or not they know each other or end up being pen pals or whatever, that relationship is something that nobody else has.
Yeah, you know? their connection may be traced to a common trauma. So the person outside may completely understand their position because it's something that they may have experienced mentally, but just never manifested.
Yeah. Okay. So let me get, now would be like comparison question.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, you know, my English is not very good looking, you know what I mean? I try my best to be here to support my English community because I have my podcast, most interview for oncoming other and stuff like that, most in Spanish. But I'm forcing myself because I want to bring something new, you know what I mean? I like to challenge myself.
Yeah, you're doing a great
job. I don't know how do you listen to me, but I feel right now, you know what I mean? Like I'm on the White House speaking English right
now. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, man. That's it.
So if I got on my bottom line over in the question, it's because I want you really understand well. You know what I mean? Because it's some word probably for me. I know how to say it, but maybe don't know how to, on my vocabulary come out.
Right.
So I will have my boy Lino making the question and give me the answer.
Here we go. Do you think Stonehenge was man-made? If not, who did it?
Whoa.
So now we're going deep, man. Now we're peeling back layers, man. So I have a very esoteric background, and I believe that that this stage of mankind wasn't the beginning, and that there were much more advanced civilizations that were our predecessors, and that we had visitors that were more open to their existence than we do now. You know, the establishment. You know, listen, man, I'm going to tell you like this. The short answer to this is going to be no. I do not believe it was man-made. And what do you think, Kev?
Let me get my tinfoil hat. Right?
Yeah. Hey, listen, man.
I do agree with you. I don't believe that a lot of the stuff with like human wonders and even the technology we have today, nothing is original.
Nope.
A lot of the history was erased and depleted, and we definitely didn't build those things on our own and a lot of other features in the world.
Listen, man, if you believe in a God, I think it's hard not to believe in it.
And to dive in a little bit deeper, just for my experience, I guess, and doing my due diligence and diving down the rabbit hole with that kind of stuff, pyramids and everything weren't built themselves, you know what I mean? And the same structures of Mexico and Peru and across the other worlds, they're all the same structures. So with that being said, how can humans in one area of the world build the same exact structures across the other side of the world without some sort of help or technology that was lost?
The microchip, right?
Yeah, dude,
and then they're in perfect alignment. Crazy. Like, yeah.
Let me have my boy Kevin reading that one.
All right. In your opinion, what's the difference between a hoax and a conspiracy?
So a hoax, you know what? I don't want to go down this rabbit hole because I'm going to tell you because like what I have to say. Because
a lot of hoaxes become conspiracies.
Yeah.
Conspiracies become hoaxes.
Yeah. So I don't want to discredit anything that we were saying before. I know that your audience is very vast. The demographic is the spectrum is incredible. So you have people that are simple minded and then you have people who are extremely complex. And I don't want to insult anybody's perspective on these incidents and stuff. So I just want to I plead the fifth on that one. Did you ever fall down a weird YouTube rabbit hole looking into conspiracy theories?
Obviously, I guess that's a given. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Honestly, before like anything on YouTube, I think it was for me conspiracies and crazy stuff trying to find answers of the world, you know, because when I found out YouTube that you can just go and get information no matter what, you know.
I was going down this rabbit hole before YouTube. I was going into like, I was deep dive.
Zeitgeist movies.
Yeah. Zeitgeist, Chematica.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
I was deep into like the Sumerian tablets, the Sumerians were the first civilization in human history. And, you know, the writings there are pretty intricate and detailed. And some of that information wasn't verified by science until thousands of years later, right? So how did they possess this information, right? but
well, I know you are deep on that. I know you're deep on that.
That's a whole
and
delivery.
We have to bring that out on another podcast. Yeah, yeah, because my boy Lionel is like, you know what I mean? He's like, I want to pull him right here, my boy Lucky, you know what I mean? Like, he's like one of my mentors.
Yeah, yeah.
Saying like that, maybe never told you that before, but I like to talk to this guy because this man is like breaking every point that you maybe don't know about it. This guy have information about it. Yeah. It's like sitting down with somebody, you can have any type of conversation about it. And he we break down the little knowledge he have. Even if he don't know, he will go home, do your research, and call me like, oh, bro, you remember we talk about this. It's not like that. It's about this, and this. Yo, how do you know though? I have to study. I cannot go to sleep without knowing what I've been going through today.
My mind is weird like that. Like, if I bump into, like, man, listen, the most dangerous thing you could, or the the most time-consuming question you could ever wonder is, where is God, right? Like, who is God? What is God?
Yeah.
And then you have to deep dive into that, right? Like, the God concept, where do we get the God concept from? Who was the first person to ever believe in a God? And then you realize, like, they were cavemen who depicted these pictures of, like, a lightning bolt coming down to kill a deer.
Now, do you bring that out?
He was starving, right, and he was able to eat. You know what I mean? So he was like, oh, something above.
It's a funny video that I just saw this morning. It's been going viral a little bit on social media. It's like, this guy say, I have a question. Who was the first person who take a picture or a picture of Jesus? Know what I mean? Because the camera come in like 1865. They're like putting a number like that.
How do they know?
Like, you know what I mean? I think you have a photo of your house of Marco Antonio Solis. I want.
Yeah.
That's a good
idea.
Because that's true. You really don't know.
So, and listen. Wow. He took it back to Los Bukis.
Yo, for real. You know what I mean?
So, listen. There's a... You know, there's a conspiracy, and we're going to call it a conspiracy, that the picture that we see and recognize as Jesus was really Cesar Borgia, or, you know, another individual. And then they say it wasn't him, and this, that, and the kid. But it just doesn't make sense that the white Jesus that we see, the white skin, blue eyed Jesus that we see, is not consistent.
Brown hairs.
Is not consistent with the people from that region, right?
Yeah.
It's not consistent with the depiction that the Bible says Jesus looked like. So, I'm not here to argue that.
No, but
I'm not here to argue that. But what I will say is that, interestingly enough, because Jesus looks like a middle-aged white man with blue eyes, and fact check me, white men from the ages of 30 to 35 are least likely to be assaulted. Are the least likely demographic to be assaulted, because subconsciously, we look at white men from the ages of 30 to 35, and we subconsciously relay that image to the image of Jesus. And if you don't think...
More 33.
Yeah. Well, 30 to 35, because it's that mean. But if you don't think that the depiction of what your Lord and Savior looks like is important, then you don't know anything about marketing or why companies spend over $800 billion a year on such things like marketing, right? It is beyond me that this is something that goes over the head of some people.
Yeah. Let me give that to Kevin right there.
Where do you go when you need to blow some... this is funny. Where do you go when you need to blow off some steam? A little obvious. But...
It's funny because the most people would say the range. The range, yeah. If I need to blow off some steam... The range is very therapeutic, man. Very therapeutic. When you go out there and you're working and you're, you know, mastering your craft and increasing your discipline and your skill set, you come home and you've put some of those demons to rest, man. For sure.
Like, for me, now I want to bring some of my, you know what I mean? I think being here is, I can be here 24 hours as I've been doing it for the last 2 years. You know what I mean? Working like on myself. Like, I've been, you come here all the time, you always see something move around.
Yeah.
I love that. You know what I mean? When I want to blow something, like, I just been moving stuff around, try to do some research, like, try to learn something, listen to podcasts, listen to new information, try to bring education to myself.
Absolutely.
That's the thing I can, you know what I mean? To,
so you're connecting yourself to your passion.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the big thing for me. What about you, Kevin?
Yeah, For me, I'm an adrenaline junkie, so I'm always doing something crazy. Blowing off some steam, yeah, I do like going to the shooting range and actually physically blowing off steam, but sometimes I do get a little crazy because I want to put the same hole in the same hole, you know what I mean?
I go there, blow off some steam,
and then next thing you know,
I'm frustrated
because I'm not shooting what I want to shoot, you know what I mean? So yeah, but it does help. I'm a car guy. I go in my garage, I work on cars, and I fix cars. I'll go on my skateboard. I'm a skateboarder, so...
I can see you like a skateboard guy.
This guy's jumping. I am not the guy for that. He's scuba diving.
So yeah,
this is a guy that wears many hats, man. Thankfully today he's got the sharpshooter hat on. We do have merch if you're interested. DM us.
Yeah, for real. We leave the link down here, all the information about NJHI Shooters, all your social medias, where you can find them. You know what I mean, website, whatever we have. Every accent that you can have in there.
It's pretty simple, man. NJ Sharpshooters on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Check us out. Check us out on YouTube. We have a video up on YouTube.
So my next question is, like, what is your idea of relaxing?
What is my idea of relaxing? You know, I've always been a communal individual, like a community-minded individual. So I don't think I'm ever going to get the opportunity to relax because my mind is always working. My mind is always working. But I will say that that's what brings me peace, right?
Yeah.
Being able to find solutions to some of today's problems and actually bring them to fruition, that brings me a deeper peace than I think most people. Like, you know, I have trouble sleeping, man. A lot of times I think about the state of the world or, you know, the things that are happening around me, and it's hard.
It's hard to relax.
It's hard to relax. Like, have you checked the news? Like, have you seen outside? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you seen what's happening? Like,
exactly.
Like, we're responsible for this stuff, man. Like, you know, they say that all that evil needs to prevail is for good men to do nothing. And there's a lot of us that are doing nothing. And it's like, there isn't really a time to relax. I mean, you know, you have your moments, right? We all have our moments. We need to be able to wind down and kind of turn ourselves off and on a little bit, but we have a greater responsibility, and I think that a lot of us are dodging that because we want to call ourselves men, but we don't want to be men.
Right. So let me tell you something. If we have a call right now from the White House and say, Lucky, we need you for the mission that you are good at, what mission would be?
To stay out of the White House. I'm going to be honest with you.
I'll call you right back.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you something, man. There are much better operators out in the world than I could ever be, right? These are guys that, and I tip my hat to them because they're training day in and day out. You know what I mean? Like, they're actually out there with real combat experience. We are 100% civilian based. I don't ever want anybody to misconstrue that. We're not veterans. We're not combat veterans. We get our information from combat veterans. Absolutely. We've paid a pretty penny to obtain this information from some of the most reputable trainers in the country, some of which are civilians themselves. But, you know, when we give it away, we're giving you the most modern considerations. And that's actually the name of our curriculum, the, you know, modern considerations pistol, modern considerations rifle. So, you know, if you ask me what the best mission would be, it would have to be like some community project. Some community project, man, because I'm not going into Syria to find somebody, you know what I mean? It's just not my forte, you know what I mean?
All right. So, my boy Kevin?
Yeah, man. For me, it's the same thing. Making sure my own community, my own people, my main squeeze, my main 10 people, 20 people, whatever I can, that's my priority. I don't need to focus on the White House and their problems. They have a military for that. They have other people, like you said, that are way more qualified. Yeah, I would love to be that person, Captain America, but that's not me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not prepared for that mentally.
Like, physically, this is Kevin. Maybe, like, yeah, oh, new formation. Like, I'm this.
Yeah.
Now listen.
If you need me to be a driver, bro, call me. You know what I mean? But other than that, I'm not going in arms.
Now listen, in August of last year, and you know this because you know I shared this experience with you. There was a situation where an individual brandished a firearm on a train, and I was able to take the individual down, disarm him, and hold him down using, you know, my physical combat experience until the police arrived. But this was just 7 hours after we had attended an active shooter training event.
Wow.
Right? So 7 hours after I was informed on what to do,
fresh.
I had to apply that information. So are we ready and willing? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. If tomorrow there was a need for us to sign up and join some military faction to go and defend the country,
and the walls fall, and we're the last line of defense for this country, we're stepping up because we are 100% American citizens, and we will defend our country.
We have a responsibility. Absolutely,
I would be like, I would go there, but I would make sure that all the combat guy there, that we go fresh air kind of, you know what I mean?
Right. Get the experience.
You know I mean? I would go in there, make sure that I mean, I would bring the best out of me.
Listen, I'm so sorry to tell you, but we're probably be the ones on the front line. Those guys with experience are going to be the flankers. But
yeah. So I don't want to make this more longer than this. You know what I mean? Let me ask the last question. My line can bring it out here and then give them some advice, you know what I mean, to end the podcast like that. We can bring another day and bring another topic or maybe the same topic to break down more stuff. Like, I really love this, you know what I mean? I'm putting myself on a challenge.
Yeah.
Doing this podcast in English and try to make you laugh or make your life easy, or you can get a little bit of information for this. Maybe you can learn. You want to have more information, you know what I mean? No legal advisor. Remember, we say that.
No legal advice. Yeah, we're not qualified to give legal advice.
We have my boy Lionel here, Lucky, and my boy Kevin right here, and his team crew, NJ Child Shooters. And, you know what I mean? They can help you out, whatever they can is on their hand. If not, they can pass you to another hand.
Absolutely.
So let's do the last question, and then
close it up. So what or who has made the biggest impression on your life in the last year? Ooh, what or who has made the biggest impression on your life in the last year? I'm going to say the Second Amendment community of New Jersey. We have been received with such open arms that it is incredible. The demand for the service that we provide is great, and it's growing. The culture in New Jersey is shifting, and whether some people like to accept it or not, we are heading into a direction where people want to be educated, people want to be informed, and we're becoming the resource. We're becoming the one-stop shop for all things 2A related. So I think that the call to action from our communities has made an incredible impact on my day-to-day decisions, and especially my day-to-day operations as a president of NJ Sharpshooters.
Okay,
cool. So yeah, I would, cliche as it is, definitely the NJ Sharpshooters community has made one of the biggest impacts in my life personally, just being involved with something that I know deep down inside in my blood that I had to step up and take care of it myself. Nobody else is going to take care of me. Nobody else is going to be able to take care of my family the way I can.
Yeah.
If I can be prepared, have great knowledge, and we said it before in the beginning of the podcast, we get these firearms or we get these tools that we're kind of just thrown out there. We get our cars, we get our driver's license. They kind of just throw us out there. It's up to us to do our due diligence, get trained, and pass it forward, you know? So when I was introduced to the sharpshooters, I was brought away. Like, I was just blown away by how they're willing to give this information for free. You know, you can't put a price on that, no matter what. So being involved in that aspect has changed my life personally. Being able to see people improve in self-defense, seeing people improve in first aid, being able to give people an opportunity to qualify, to take better care of themselves, you know, properly.
And to do it within the ranks of our own people, right?
Exactly.
Because we don't accept any kind of sponsorship or anything like that. I mean, we accept donations, absolutely.
Yeah.
We are a nonprofit organization. But, the origin of this organization is communal, right? And it's always going to be that way. Just to touch base on a story that we talked about long ago, from a book called The Prince, written by Niccolo Machiavelli. There was a time when he was offered to be sponsored by a very wealthy family at the time, the Medici family. And he turned them down initially, right? And he said, well, why would you turn down the Medici family? They can make all of your inventions come true. They can make all of your work, your search. And he said, because once they sponsor me, they own me. My work has to be tailored around what they want me to work on, right? So he said, and this is a powerful phrase, let my poverty be a testament to my honesty, right? So how do you know that our work is genuine? because it's not our bread and butter. This is information that we give away for free. It can only
cost you a penny, but you're giving away for free.
It can only come from the heart. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? So when it comes from that place, when you build your foundation strong on love, on the principles of love and good faith, you have nowhere to go but up, right?
And that's why we're here.
That's why we're here.
So, absolutely. But I mean, I want to end this and just saying thank you to you, all of you, to be here, you know what I mean, with my little English, like 5 cents English, like, you know what I mean? Like Fefita say, he's not very good looking.
Listen, you did a phenomenal job.
I challenge myself, you know what I mean? I have a lot of my followers, a lot of my customers, a lot of my friends. They say, Raul, I want to support you, but you know what I mean? I don't understand what you're saying. I hope now is the moment you say, Raul, I like it. You share with your family. And if anybody you think around you needs to watch this video, you know what I mean? Just don't cost you nothing. Just follow you. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't, you know what I mean?
And listen, this Thursday, we actually have an event. It's completely free to the community. Children from ages 10 to 16 could sign up for a free education, free shooting experience. We're going to have some goods that we're not going to talk about because we're going to surprise the kids. But it's ages 10 to 16 at 6:15 at a recoil shooting range, which is 25 Mott Avenue in Monroe, New Jersey. But you have to RSVP. So reach out to us via Instagram, DM us, let us know the age of your child, the age and name of your child, and the name of the adult that's going to be attending. Adults can't shoot, right? We've fundraised for this event to make sure that it's free for children, because we do believe that it is easier to raise good men than it is to fix a grown man, right?
Yeah.
So good men and women, I don't want to be corrected later on down the line. Good men and women, good citizens, than it is to fix or rehabilitate a grown individual.
And that's good you're saying that, because this is not the first time you did that kind of event. I was about to bring that up, but you know what I mean? Going with the flow, sometimes we escape and stuff. But if maybe you didn't watch this video before this, remember they were doing this, like, I don't know how often they be doing that kind of event when they can help you out, how to bring your kid on that life and teach them a little, you know what I mean, how to manage me on that kind of situation, like, and stuff like that. If you're interested, just contact them on IG, on stuff like that they can let you know, you know what I mean, maybe this event passed, then on the future one.
Yeah,
you
know what for I mean? Sure. Listen, stay in contact.
The first one you've been doing,
this is a community. If you DM us, I promise you, you'll have a response within, an hour or 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's not like this is, you're DMing somebody that's not on it. Like, I'm on it all the time. Kevin's on it all the time. We have 4 different administrators that are on it all the time. So somebody's going to reach out to you, usually within a couple of minutes, but definitely within the hour.
Yeah, but I mean, so just in case, you know what I mean? And remember to follow them. They have their own podcast, YouTube videos and stuff like that, where you can see how they work, how they perform, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And on IG, show them some love, you know what I mean? You can take the clip, do you like it? Tag them on social media and your favorite ones, you know what I mean? And thank you to be here with us, and hope you see you in another videos with my boy Lucky. And you know what I mean? I hope one day we have the whole crew, you know what I mean? They can give their own.
So
I'm
so happy you said the whole crew, because some of our members are female.
Right? Yeah.
And 40% of new gun owners are female, right? So if you're a woman and you're timid about coming into what seems to be a male dominated industry, don't be afraid, because we have subgroups in our group, and one of them is called the Gucci Gang, and those are for the guys that got like the 24 karat gold guns and stuff like that,
The Pink Gang.
So one of the groups that we have is called the Louis Ladies, right?
The Louis Ladies.
That's the Louis Vuitton Ladies. So there is a female faction that is welcoming and it's open armed, and they're all professional. Most of them are teachers, actually, now that I think about it. Yeah. So it's crazy because we are members of a functioning society, and we're here for you. So please feel free to reach out to us on Instagram, DM us, Facebook, follow us on YouTube, and we're here for you. So if you have an inquiry or any questions, feel free to reach out to either Raul, to us, to Kevin.
Remember, and the best part of this, we give you free information.
Yeah, free information.
You know what I mean?
It costs you nothing. Well, I'm not going to say it costs you nothing, because you do have to pay the range fee and the ammo. But outside of that, you don't have to pay for any gun rentals, and you don't have to pay for any instructors. Which saves you over $150. So
You so know. Thank you very much again. Something you have to say before we cut off the camera?
No. All I'm going to say is that, you know, just be mindful of the fact that you do have a responsibility to be an outstanding citizen and to be capable as much as you can.
Yeah, definitely. I do want to say thank you for hanging out with us. I appreciate you having us on here.
Yo, listen.
Stay ready, stay capable. Nobody's going to save your life but you, you know what I mean? So stay sharp. What you got to do and stay sharp, guys.
You are more than welcome to hear just whatever topic you want to bring it in. Just, hey, Raul, I have this information. I want my people to know about it. You know what I mean? Like, cool. Any event you have, you can let me know. You know what I mean? Like, send me the clip. Even if we have to create some Mac or some flyer, I try to help you out with it.
Yeah,
you
know, I mean, we can make it work.
And post it out because we have to work together.
See that? Raul's already getting the community aspect.
I always be doing that.
I think that's why you were not connected
Maybe you don't see it because, you know what I mean, I would maybe be behind the camera. Mm-hmm. Now I've been in front of the camera. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I always say, my work is make other people happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm a barber. I try to bring podcasts. I used to be a promoter and I try to give information for people that maybe don't can get it. You know what I mean? That is to help other people to be happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who going mad with a party? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who got a sharp haircut, nice, good looking haircut? It's not because it's me, the best haircut you can get. You go mad. You know what I mean? Nah, you don't get that. You come here with problem, but you leave.
You're feeling a little bit better.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like a new man.
Like you.
Yeah, with that being said, why don't we cut and let's go to get ahead.
I got you, boy.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh boy. Oh, that was a pleasure.